855-915-WMFO. And we are continuing to look back on the terrible memory that is when OJ may or may not have murdered his wife and her friend.
I don't know. Well, we're focusing in primarily on the chase.
I was going to say, the chase is the biggest part. But the chase is what? Was that 2 days after?
And as I said, it was 5 days after. It was a Friday night.
You're right.
June 17th, 1994, which we won't be on the air that night, so we're doing this tonight. As I said before the break, there is no internet in people's homes.
There's not even, I mean, even the person who first reported seeing the white Bronco on the highway used one of the emergency phones that was on the side of the highway to do so. There wasn't, I mean, like, 15 people had car phones at this point.
Yeah, there are no smartphones.
Yeah, like there aren't, nobody has a cell phone at this point.
When something like this happens in 1994, everybody immediately flips on CNN or flips on the networks. If the networks are all cutting in, this is important. Now, today, we will have major events happen and nobody bats an eyelash. They're like, yeah, there was, you know, there was a big shooting or there's a terrorist attack somewhere. The networks aren't going to go wall to wall with that coverage anymore. Back in the day, they did, because that was the only way that you were going to find out what was going on. And if you wanted to be informed, you had to park your butt in front of that television and watch, because there were no DVRs. You couldn't sit there and just rewind it and watch it later. That you could videotape things, which is why we even have this version of this.
Well, and that's the irony, and to be frank, the vicious cycle of all of this is that, you know, as you just said, the only way that we used to be able to get any information about anything happening was by watching the news. And as a result, it was only the really important things that were happening that we found out about. Whereas now that we have smartphones and the internet and computers and blah, 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 we get so much information all the time, all day, every day, that it kind of desensitizes you to things. Like, if the OJ murders happened last year, the OJ murders, he innocent until proven guilty and whatever, but if this situation had happened last year, I don't think it would be as sensationalized as it was in 1994, because there's so much else that we just get fed all day, every day. I mean, it's to the point, I remember when Columbine happened, I was in school. I was in the one semester I was forced to take French, and when that news broke, and it felt like the biggest thing that had ever happened. It felt so huge. And now, 20 odd years later, I hear about a school shooting and I feel bad, but it doesn't feel the same way, because I hear about a school shooting like once a month.
95 million people watched the O.J. Simpson chase. 67% of all households in the United States watched the O.J. Simpson.
I believe it.
If you weren't watching the O.J. chase, you were probably asleep.
I would say you were either asleep or at work.
Or you're at work. It also is still, to this day, holds the record for the most sales in a single day by Domino's Pizza.
Oh, yes. They literally ran out of cheese.
Yep. Because everybody, and by the way,
everyone was ordering Domino's.
By the way, I was eating the Domino's while I watched this.
How would these people
totally
know,
believe
listen
you
to their radio, what's going on?
That's the only way, Paul, that I could figure out that the word is caught on. But all these people know that what is happening. They have to. Some are actually entering the number one and number two lanes, yelling, waving their hands, trying to be part of something that is quite frankly, very, very awful. We have gone out of our way to make sure that Mr. Simpson does not know that we are here or that this is a news vehicle because of the nature of the statement he made earlier through his attorney and through his friend. But he continues to travel at, I believe, about 45 miles per hour in the center lane. His emergency lights are flashing, and he's trailed in each lane behind him by about 20 feet, a black and white unit from a variety of agencies, the Highway Patrol and the LAPD, the lead agencies. They do try to get whatever jurisdiction is involved at the time involved, because technically it is their jurisdiction and their pursuit. But this really isn't a pursuit. This is a wait and see. They're trying to wait him out so that he will eventually come to a stop and hopefully give himself up peacefully. But we've been hearing from a dispatcher that there is obviously a weapon in the car, and that this is a man who, we don't know where he's going right now, but he's not interested in stopping. And the Highway Patrol and the LAPD are not interested in stopping him either.
Now, at the time that this is going on, we like to believe that we're living in a post-racial America in 1994. This is 2 years after the Los Angeles riots.
That's, which I mean is the biggest, in my opinion at least, the biggest factor in how this trial played out,
and
especially with reference to the representation of, or the partial representation of Johnny Cochran.
Yeah, and it is, because what had happened in the United States is during the 1980s, probably up to 1985, 1986, we'd all sort of come to this idea that the strife of the 70s was over, that everybody was good with everybody else, and that everything was okay, and that we were in this post-racial America. O.J. Simpson was one of the leading symbols of that.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
O.J. Simpson represented the fulfillment of the white dream for the black man, where you have talent, you work hard, you behave in a respectful manner, and you get to enter white society.
Well, that's the thing, is on the flip side of that, or I guess adjacent to that, is the fact that while him being found innocent was kind of, I always think of it as retribution for what happened with the LA riots, with all of that,
Rodney King.
The irony of that, which the FX series they did about it and everything I've read about it has touched upon, is that OJ, even though he was a black man, he wasn't a black man.
No.
He, all of his friends were whitest of the white. Like, he was a golf club member with all these dudes who are even more like white than I am, and I'm pretty freaking white. And I don't mean that as a detrimental thing or as saying that I'm racist or anything like that. I just mean, like, you know, like the whitest of the white men were his friends. He wasn't the black man's black man. And it's the irony of it that, I mean, it would have, I would have been more okay with it, with him being found innocent, if he had been the black man's black man. If he wasn't just this guy who was so bougie and so grandiose and so, all I can think is like bougie and nouveau riche.
But the interesting thing about it is, you know, at this time that white America is sitting there thinking everything's fine and everybody's happy and we're all getting along, we have a massive crack cocaine problem devastating
New York
black
City
communities.
Yeah.
And
Harlem.
Yeah. And because it's in the inner city, most white Americans are removed from it. Like, even in a city like Boston, if you stayed out of certain neighborhoods, you would never know that any of that was going on. And if you look back on the coverage of the crack cocaine epidemic, it's pretty blatantly racist when you read it. because it basically paints it as a black problem. This is a problem of black people. Black people don't want to work. They just want to be addicts. They don't care. And it completely ignores the nexus that exists between poverty and drug addiction.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that for young men in these communities, selling drugs is the only job you're going to get.
Yeah.
Because no one else is opening a door to you. And then white America sits there and points to OJ and says, but look at OJ. Look at, he's one of us now.
I was going to say, OJ, like I said, OJ was essentially, and I mean this in the most progressive way that I can, OJ at that time was, for all intents and purposes, a white man.
Yeah.
He wasn't all of the stereotypes and stigmas and all of that which racist people would place against a black person were not placed against OJ, because he was rich, he was popular, he was talented, he was in freaking movies with Leslie Nielsen. Like, I don't know if there's a whiter thing you can do than be in the movie with Leslie Nielsen. And it's, I'm not saying that's good, but I'm saying that it creates this irony that he was basically acquitted as retribution for the LA riots and for Rodney King, when in reality he wasn't a black man anymore.
Well, the LA riots should have been a giant wake-up call.
It should
for
have.
For middle America, yeah. For white America, for rich America.
I hate that it didn't accomplish what its goal was.
And instead of people saying, why is this happening?
Like, that happened 25 years ago, or 27 years ago.
Instead of asking, why is this happening?
April 26, 1992.
The response was, what kind of people burn their own community down? And again, it was that same thing.
People who are angry.
We're gonna blame black people for the problems that have been put upon them.
And
mostly, by the way,
so unfair.
By the Los Angeles police. And that is where the involvement of the Los Angeles police in this chase gets to be very interesting, because a lot of people are sitting there knowing what the LAPD have done in the past.
Yes.
Knowing that there are problems with the LAPD and wondering, how is this going to turn out?
Well, and that's, I mean, so much of what happens to this day in our country and in our society has so much to do with the previous stigma attached. So, like, I mean, you think about one of my favorite hip-hop groups is NWA. They wrote a song that I can't say the name of on the radio, but it's F the Police. And it was around the time of the LA riots. And they started a whole movement, even beyond the LA riots, against the police in LA County. And that in and of itself had a huge impact on the impression that people got of the Los Angeles Police Department, of how everything they did was perceived.
It's pretty accurate too.
And I lived right by Skid Row in 2017, and it's evident. It's an evident thing that there is a problem within the LAPD, and there has been for like I said, NWA came out with that song like 27 years ago. The riots were 27 years ago. This was 25 years ago. But it, with that in mind, and I'm not disregarding the fact that there's definitely a problem within it, but with that in mind, it affects the way that things like this are reacted to. Like, it's similar to if a similar case happened in Boston with a black man that killed his white wife, where the police's approach to it would be scrutinized
police cars.
Based on the fact that people in Boston and police in Boston are the way that they are, and with the racism, with with discrimination in general, it would definitely have an effect.
We did have something similar, and that was the Charles Stewart murder.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying is that it's
that is controlled airspace is the term the FAA uses around LAX. And if you're a private pilot, you know that there are certain ways you can go through there. The corridor along the coastline is one, but our helicopter had to do some maneuvering to avoid the landing pattern in LAX. So we're back with you now. We have the picture, Conan.
Okay, great.
And we are watching as the Ford Bronco carrying O.J. Simpson and his former teammate and friend Al Crowlings heads northbound on the 405. As Conan said, it's past Manchester. We believe it just passed La Sierra. And it should be what, Paul? Maybe 10 minutes again from the exit in
Probably,
Brentwood?
Probably not even that long. You'll be coming up on Jefferson. You'll be coming up on north of that would be I'm not sure, National, and then the Wilshire area, and then Sunset Boulevard. So I would say they're probably no more than about 5 miles from Sunset at the point.
You should be crossing over the 10 freeway here real soon.
And there was really no way to know.
Do you know that his house has actually been knocked down?
Obviously, which way that Ford Bronco was going to go, or exactly what is going on inside the vehicle at the time.
I did see Nicole's house, but they built very large fences around it.
Conan is now behind the phalanx of black and whites.
A lot of Americans learned the word phalanx that night.
You know, there were a number of occasions.
Because that's what everyone used to describe the formation of police cars.
The phalanx.
The phalanx of police cars.
In fact,
it kind of sounds like phalange.
They called it a felony stop at one point. That was closer to the 55. It didn't turn out that way. If he slowed down or started to stop, he changed his mind and continued. Again, must point out that the law enforcement agencies have done a very professional job in handling this particular pursuit, the exchange of information via the radio frequencies.
They've done a very professional job driving 35 miles per hour on an LA freeway.
They also know that this is now being broadcast coast to coast.
Does not seem to have been any problem. They knew exactly what they wanted to do, and they've done it rather well. There's no question their biggest problem has been the public. And the
All right, we're beginning to lose Conan a little bit on his cell phone. We'll pick him up just as soon as we can. Again, the Ford Bronco has passed Manchester, and I would imagine now has passed Jefferson, and is heading on up into the Wilshire area, that being Wilshire Boulevard, National Boulevard, and then Sunset.
We should be passing the Marina Freeway and the 10 Freeway here pretty soon. Keep in mind that O.J. Simpson is inside the car. He's been described as very distraught today. His attorney said early this morning when he arrived at the house in the San Fernando
Valley. Now, at this point,
he said O.J. was wailing.
NBC5 in Chicago has now moved the basketball game, game five of the NBA Finals, into the foreground. And they've got both images at about the same size, but they got the basketball game on top of the O.J. Simpson chase. Any network that isn't NBC is just running the chase and nothing else.
One of these things is not like the other. One of these things just doesn't belong.
There are theoretically people who want to watch the basketball game who are like, what is this?
Well, that's honestly, I was talking about the FX series they did about the O.J. trial, and that's one of my favorite scenes is when they make the decision to put the basketball game in like the tiny box and have the chase be the main screen.
And we're now at a point where both sides of the freeway
are just completely blocked
off. Are lined with people.
Oh yeah, just people just standing there, like people, pulled over on the side of the road.
People have walked up onto the people have walked up onto the freeway from their homes.
A Bronco go by.
And they're like, OJ's coming, and they're all waving and cheering and hooting.
Well, that's like I said, one of my favorite parts of that, the series that was made about it is for literally a split second, which I'm sure this is historically accurate. It was literally a split second that people were mad that the NBA Finals was put into a box. And then once they realized what they were watching, it was like, nope, NBA doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Like, basketball doesn't matter.
It's, well,
this is what matters.
I don't think either team could have won in Game 5 because that series finished 4-3. So it wasn't even like...
Yeah, it wasn't like it was like the clincher game.
Somebody's winning a championship tonight, and I'm watching a Bronco on TV.
The latest information we have is that there is a hostage negotiator reportedly with this police convoy just behind. But to our knowledge, and again, as I say, the latest information we have is that they have not been able to contact OJ on his cell phone. He's just not picking up. There was a 911 call a little while ago. OJ, at that point, said he was holding a gun to his own head, but that's the last we've heard. That's the last contact we've had. I believe our Conan Nolan is back with us again.
He's because I've done anger management, and this guy is an anger management and hostage negotiating specialist.
I know. It's been like that the entire time. Don't ask me how they found out so quickly, but as we were positioning ourselves for this, there was, oh my goodness, I've just been pointed to a van, that someone has painted on the side of it, Go OJ, and that's in big paint on the side of someone's van.
Goodness gracious.
This is a traveling circus. And I have to tell you, though, my only prayer is that somehow something good can come
precisely
out of that.
True.
Perhaps Mr. Simpson will realize how much he means to so many people and how much he is loved. And that is my prayer, is that this will help and not hurt.
Conan,
this KNBC feed was pretty much the definitive coverage that everybody watched.
Yeah.
Whether you're watching NBC, ABC, CBS, whoever it was, pretty much everybody had this KNBC feed going.
Like, this is so weird to listen to because I remember listening to this when I was 8 years old.
Yeah.
Like, I remember this news footage. Remember, he wrote three letters,
one to the public, one to his mother, one to his two young children, who I believe are still in Orange County. This evening, one of his final requests
is
that
they were in Brentwood, that's LA County.
His mother, and we believe that's his destination at this point, although we're not sure on this. It's entirely possible he may have been in Orange County trying to contact his kids.
We also don't know the fuel situation of that Ford Bronco. Now, if it started out in Los Angeles and made the trip southbound and turned around and came back, we've been following this, Colleen, an hour and a half at least?
That is exactly what it did.
Since about 6:30 we came back on the air. And,
so you've got to be thinking about the range, and you've got to be thinking about how much longer the truck can continue to operate without running out of gas.
Now, Paul, let me ask you, we've lost sight of him at this point. Has he turned off the freeway?
No, Conan, he is not. And our picture is starting to break up a little bit, but he is in it looks like now the fast lane or close to it, the left-hand side of the 405. Okay. No, he's still on the freeway. Okay. Now, we've got two trucks there, and I'm trying to figure out which one there is.
One is a van.
Yeah.
And I believe he did not have a roof rack, and I believe the other one does have one.
We've got him right there. The black car is just going by.
Yeah,
he's in the fast lane.
There are all kinds of cars pulling up next to the Bronco right now, people waving at OJ.
Jesus.
Well, we passed the 10.
Well, AC got the exact same Bronco as OJ because he loved him so much.
By the way, this was the best advertisement for the Ford Bronco ever, because sales of white Broncos went through the roof in the days after, in the months after the OJ Simpson
chase. Which, ironically, they ended up discontinuing it after that.
Yeah.
Just because of the stigma attached to it.
Well, because it was a useless... No, because people realized how terrible that was.
Yeah, like, it was like the stupidest SUV ever.
Yeah, it wasn't a good Ford product.
Back in our West Coast, the one that can zoom in from 40,000 feet. I don't know. It's got a heck of a zoom
long
on
ways
it.
Up.
And it's back, and so we've got a better picture of it now.
Conan, where are you in relationship to this? Are you directly behind the black and white?
Well, we've put a little distance between us and them because
the black and white.
It has been so chaotic. We had to opt err on the side of caution. There are a number of, I'm sure there are a number of TCs. I've seen at least one from the general public as people have tried to maneuver into position so that they can stay close to this for whatever reason they wish to. So we can see them. We see the black and whites and the lights and sirens. We see the code 3 pursuit, but we are not on top of it as we were, just for safety reasons.
This is an amazing picture as we drive up the northbound 405. You can see on the southbound side, as we have our new camera back, the Westcam, you can see people literally stopped on the freeway on the southbound side, very busy freeway, hanging over the barrier there, waving and we presume shouting to O.J. as he drives
by. Conan was talking about that all the way back on the 91. People were doing that. And again, the eerie juxtaposition of the NBA Finals in the right-hand lower part of your screen, the finest basketball players we have to offer, and the pursuit of one of the finest football players we ever offered. It's eerie.
Let's not forget the overpasses, too. That's what struck me at first, is that they were packed. That there were hundreds of people at some of the overpasses down
All right, Connor, I believe he's turning off. I can't say for sure, but I think that's sunset. Let's just wait and see.
He is now pulling off the highway. And
going towards his house in Bramley.
Yeah. All right, let's and I will say, the only other time I can remember seeing or hearing about a highway, just everybody stopping their cars at the side of the road and standing next to the highway, was Ted Kennedy's funeral procession from Hyannis Port up to Boston.
I was just going to say, actually, Princess Diana's funeral.
Yes.
In England. That's the only other time I can think of that happened.
So OJ's on
That was like one of the biggest quotes of this happening. Was a reporter saying, can you believe this is Los Angeles on a Friday night?
Yeah.
Like, and as someone who's lived in Los Angeles, I mean, we both have lived in Los Angeles. I would have a show at 7 and I would leave at 3 just to make sure I could get there in time.
He's making great time on the 91.
Yeah, like he's killing it.
Nobody goes that fast on the 91.
No one impedes his travel to his home.
So OJ is off the freeway now, or he's almost off the freeway. He seems to be heading for Sunset Boulevard.
Now in the opposite lane of traffic, this is somebody who's in a very big hurry to get to wherever he's going. I want to mention to you that we have pulled back our people. We have left the camera in position. So if we go to that shot on the ground near OJ Simpson's house, you see it right there. There's nobody manning that camera. We have acceded to the wishes of the police.
We should also mention, too, as he gets closer to home and to his mansion in Brentwood, we have dropped the game. We'll try to get back to it, try to keep you posted as best we can, but this story appears to be hitting the critical stage here, wouldn't you say, Paul?
I would definitely say that, Colleen, and that's why we're going full with it. And to repeat what Conan said, for anybody that might be watching us in the Brentwood, Palisades, Santa Monica area, if you're thinking of trying to come up and get a look-see of this, please don't do it.
And again, as you can see from the ground...
Wait, what was that address? I get there from Palisades?
There is, no matter what has happened before this, certainly two lives have been lost. There is at least one more life that's hanging, I would say, critically in the balance at this point inside that truck.
This is a reporter who knows the LAPD.
The last information we had from the CHP officer was that OJ was armed. At one point, about an hour or so ago, he said he was holding a gun to his own head. His wish was to see his mother. And, Paul, you know this area here. Maybe you can talk us through in terms of location.
Well, I'd say he's past Barrington, certainly, and probably coming up on Bundy. The shot is tight enough where I can't really get a good look at it. But he's not very far now from where I assume that he wants to go if he's trying to go home.
You mentioned Bundy. That's the street where his former wife's condo was.
That would
where
be
the,
some...
shootings took place on Sunday evening.
No, he's made a right here, and I can't tell what
you say shootings?
That looks to me to be
idiot.
That could be Bristol Circle South and heading on up north on Bristol, I believe.
No, it was Bundy.
And it's not, you can get to Rockingham and his house from there. North on Bristol. Let's just stay with us for a minute now.
Conan, are you off the freeway yet?
I think Conan's...
We've lost Conan.
OJ's house is on Rockingham and Ashford, and he could probably make a left on Ashford from Bristol, I think. Obviously, there are a lot of trees in this neighborhood. It's going to be a little hard. Look at the people there. It's going to be a little hard to see what's going on.
There's massive crowd. Flashes going off as everyone takes pictures.
They won't even, like, that's the funny thing is they won't even let him through, which is, I mean, the ultimate goal.
And there's the house.
The situation.
There's too many people there. With you, what happens?
There appear to be no barricades in front of the house.
No.
It's as if he has free access to drive in.
There's the ground shot on your right-hand side. That is Rockingham and Ashford, and that is O.J. Simpson's house.
And there's someone in the doorway there.
Let's watch. Somebody is angry.
Police officers in the doorway, at least three of them there.
They're moving the gentleman back, whoever that was. This is a very, very critical time.
It's his son.
Yeah.
You can hear the sirens in the background.
Who a lot of people have alleged that he was the one that committed the murders. I think that's
should be familiar
utter
to a lot
nonsense.
Of you because this is the home that we've been focusing on for the last 4 days.
Goodness.
We have lost sight of the truck. We are trying to stay as far away as we can and still bring you the coverage of this. Our ground crews were asked to leave, and they did.
And as we saw earlier, police officers in the area were dropping on their bulletproof vests if they weren't wearing them already.
I can't tell you if they've gotten out of the truck yet or not. I don't believe they have.
I don't believe they have either, Paul.
Can the chopper please try to swing back the other way so we can get a view of this? Again, if you're wondering, this chopper is a lot higher than it looks.
It's so amazing just...
We're using our West Cam, which can zoom considerable distance.
Given all of the things that happen each day in the world, and even in the 90s, that this that one person was so focused on for such a long...
We don't know who's inside the house.
Pretty boring period of time.
It ticked all of the boxes.
Yeah.
Because
it's celebrity,
it's sports, it's race relations,
it's murder.
It's everything that everyone in America has an opinion about,
mm-hmm.
rolled into one story.
Again, if you're just joining us, this has been a long journey this afternoon.
Like, and then one of her dumb friends came out and said that he made Nicole get an abortion. It was like, oh, we hit another one.
Yeah.
It's just, I mean, it's amazing. It is, like you said, it just hits, it hits every buzzer in American society.
And of course, this would turn into a couple of weeks or a couple of years later, the trial of the century, the infamous O.J. Simpson trial.
Where he clenched his finger so the glove wouldn't fit.
Yes, if the glove does not fit, you must acquit. For those who...
The glove totally fit. He was clenching his fingers.
For those who recall this event, you will know that O.J. spent a tremendous amount of time in the vehicle before he actually surrendered to police. And that took place inside of his house. If you've seen the documentary, The People vs. O.J. Simpson, you get to see as much footage of that as exists. It goes into great detail. And is highly recommended, by the way. If you haven't seen that documentary, you really should. Because as it's long...
It's amazing, though.
But it's incredible. Because
it's so incredible.
It digs into so much of the context of this story.
Well, and like I said, I mean, when... I think it was around... I can picture the apartment I was living in when it came out. So I think it must have been like 2013. But when they finally released all of the court documents about the O.J. trial, like I said, I read it cover to cover in one night and just sat there being like, how the hell did they not find him guilty? And that documentary just hits every point.
If the gloves don't fit, you must
acquit. It hits every single point.
Now we're going to jump over to...
just how it happened.
We're going to jump over to ABC for a portion of the coverage while O.J. was... in the van, he's sitting in the Bronco. The door is open. AJ Cowling, I believe, has left the Bronco by this point. There is a police officer standing at the door of OJ's home, and OJ is in the back of the Bronco. For those of you who know how this clip turns out, please, please do not spoil the ending.
Okay. Just going to ask everybody to be quiet for a moment. We have on the phone with us as well Robert Higgins, who lives in the neighborhood and is on the ground and can see inside the van. Mr. Higgins.
How are you?
Just about as tense as you are, sir.
Oh, my Lord, this is quite the tensest.
What can you see?
Oh, what I'm looking at right now is I'm looking at the van and I see OJ kind of slouching down, looking very, very upset. Now, looking here, he looked very upset. I don't know what he's going to be doing.
Can you see him doing anything specific? Is he merely sitting there?
He is just sitting around, you know, just looking like he'd be very nervous.
Can you hear anything, Mr. Higgins?
It's just too much commotion. I'd be in the back of a news van, so I can't really hear that good, but I can see it all. And I see OJ. I see OJ, man, and he looks scared. And I would be scared because there's cops all deep in this.
Thank you, Mr. Higgins.
And Baba Booey to y'all.
Oh, what a thing to say on
the driveway of OJ Simpson's home in Brentwood. Clearly an effort being made to have him come out of the vehicle. In the doorway of the house, his friend, Al Cowling.
Peter, by the way, just for the record, this is Al Michaels. That was a totally farcical call. Lest anybody think that that was somebody who was truly across the street. That was not. He said something in code at the end that's indicative of the mentioning of the name of a certain radio talk show host.
Okay, thanks, Al.
So he was not there.
All right, we have them on every coast. Thank you very much. Not the first time nor the last time we'll have been had, but...
A Howard Stern listener got through.
Oh, my God.
To Peter Jennings. I see OJ.
I see OJ.
And when you listen to it after the fact, all these years later, it's like, how did you guys not know that this was somebody
right? I was going to say, he had, like, a pretend Boston accent.
But this...
As opposed to my very real Boston accent.
If you think back, and you look back on the OJ Simpson case... And you look back on this chase in particular, there are so many parallels to what's happening right now that this should have been a giant, and it actually was, a giant foreshadowing of the country that we would find ourselves living in. Because what do we have? We have a news event taking place where there is some controversy. We have people going out of their way to insert themselves into it and to make sure that they are seen being a part of it and to make sure that they are seen being on the right side of it. We have other people who are jumping in trying to troll the people who are reporting the story. And then we have a bunch of reporters sitting around who really have no idea what they're doing, no idea what they're looking
evidently.
At, and are making everything worse with their speculation. OJ... The OJ chase is a microcosm of every one of these fake outrage stories that we see every single day now.
Well, I was going to say, that's the thing, is that this, I mean, this was an incredibly interesting case for so many reasons, but a big part of that was the precedent that it set for, I mean, like I said, I referenced Columbine earlier, and at the time, Columbine was, I mean, there had been school shootings before, obviously, but Columbine was the first of its kind.
Columbine was the first one that got wall-to-wall media coverage.
Yeah, I was going to, the first that just was national news all over the place for weeks, for months, maybe. And OJ was the OJ trial was very similar to that, in that it was the first one to get very sensationalized. I mean, the Menendez brothers was one of the first ones that was nationally telecast. But OJ, because of, like you said, because it was celebrity and sports and racial bias and just all of these things together, it was the first one that was like that. And it's almost as though, that's why I mentioned Columbine with it, is the two of them kind of both opens the floodgates for this kind of spectacle of trials. It was the first time that something like this was so nationally televised, so that everyone was talking about it, even if it was, I mean, I lived in Boston and I was 8 years old and I knew about this thing that was happening 3,000 miles away from me.
The 1990s were the golden age of actual news on cable news, and they were bookended by spectacular television events. It really begins in 1989 with the fall of the Berlin Wall, which was broadcast around the world.
That makes sense.
And people sort of being stunned that the world was changing before their very eyes. President Clinton's inaugural was a huge television event. The Gulf War, the opening shots of the Gulf War, were broadcast on television in the early afternoon. And you could sit there and you could watch them. There were embedded reporters for that. We went from the Gulf War to the Los Angeles riots, which were on TV 24 hours a day. We went from the LA riots to the OJ chase.
I was going to say, that was, I mean, it was 2 years, which felt like a blink of an eye.
We went from the OJ chase to Oklahoma City and Waco before that, which were both 24-hour-a-day coverage.
Which, ironically, Ted Kaczynski was at Waco.
Yeah. We went from those to...
I don't know if ironically is the proper word, but...
We went from those to Columbine.
Yep.
And we went from Columbine to 9/11.
9/11, yeah.
And after 9/11, the internet is a thing at this point.
Explode, like everything just...
And there's really has not been any event since 9/11. I would say probably the closest thing that we've had to that... were the July attacks in London and then the Paris attacks a couple of years ago.
Yeah, with the Ariana Grande.
The one with the Bataclan shooting and everybody else getting shot, where they set off bombs near the stadia. There really haven't been any big television events since then because it's now all shifted over online.
Well, that's the thing, is that it's not... like, I remember even when Sandy Hook happened, it's like I get 1/30th of the information from watching the news on television, and the other 29/30ths I got from looking at the internet.
And because what has happened in these things, in a lot of these events, is... all television can do is sit there and show you a picture of a helicopter or show you an aerial view of a school.
Well, just like what we were, I mean, obviously it's the radio, so you guys can't see what we were watching. You could only hear the footage. But just like the video that we were just watching and listening to the coverage of, it was a helicopter over the Bronco.
Yeah.
It wasn't, while it gave the amount of information that was available, it wasn't anything too significant visually.
But the chase was something you could actually watch.
Yeah, the chase was something you could actually watch, but...
And you could watch the madness unfold as it went on, and more people started crowding into the shot to wave to OJ.
But, well, and the other thing is that I think, especially since 9/11, people have... A lot more people have taken an interest in getting that perfect shot, in getting that perfect viewpoint, in being able to do that independently with the advent of technology and being able to do things like that on your own, as opposed to having to have a job for ABC News or something like that.
But we also know that in most cases, when we're watching that national news coverage, the story is either over or the story is happening somewhere where we can't see it. And that has brought us to this new frontier of people filming themselves with GoPro cameras, committing the crimes so that they can get the images that will resonate with viewers. And that culminated with Christchurch.
Well, and that's, I mean, even I remember when I was in Seattle about 10 years ago, me and my best friend, hi Katie, went after we were at a Sox Mariners game. The Sox lost. I told her I wanted to find where Kurt Cobain lived and like see the mansion that he had in East Seattle. And so we went there. We ended up meeting this guy who showed us the spot that there was one picture taken of Kurt Cobain when he died. And it was taken from like 50 feet up in the woods on a hill, like climbing up on a fence behind his house. And this guy showed us where it was taken. And I remember, I mean, I thought it was very cool, but at the same time, I remember just thinking to myself, people will do anything to show people the juice, if you will. Like, I'm sorry, that's so weird. We're talking about OJ, and that was the term that came to my brain. But, like, you know, to show people, like, the real meat of something. Like, yep. Because that's, I mean, and the picture, I'm sure you know the picture that I'm referencing.
Oh, yeah.
It's of his feet. Like, he's not, you don't really see much, but at the same time, it's still the only picture of Kurt Cobain dead. And
oh, there are others. It's just the
but it's just
PD
like that was, yeah. It was the only publicly available picture of Kurt Cobain dead. But the fact that people will the sensationalism, if you will, of news stories definitely started in the 90s, as you said, yep. Where it stopped just being about delivering news. It became entertainment.
As they described it on KNBC, this is a rolling circus.
Yep.
855-915-9636. On the Talk, Mikey D is coming your way in just a little under 13 minutes. Before that, we've got our favorite things from the past week and the strangest things from the past week right here on WMFO Medford.
Goodbye to you, my trusted friend. We've known each other since we were 9 or 10. Together we've climbed hills and trees, learned to love and ABC, skinned our hearts and skinned our knees. Goodbye, my friend, it's hard to die when all the birds are singing in the sky. Now that spring is in the air, pretty girls are everywhere. Think of me and I'll be there. We had joy, we had fun, we had seasons in the sun, but the hills that we climbed never seemed out of time. Goodbye, Papa, please pray for me. I was the black sheep of the family. You tried to teach me right from wrong. Too much wine and too much song. Wonder how I got along. Goodbye, Papa, it's hard to die when all the birds are singing in the sky. Now that spring is in the air, little children everywhere. When you see them, I'll be there. My little one, you gave me love and helped me find the sun. And every time that I was down, you would always come around and get my feet back on the ground. Goodbye, Rochelle, it's hard to die when all the birds are singing in the sky. Now that spring is in the air, with the flowers everywhere, I wish that we could both be there. We had joy, we had fun, we had seasons in the sun, but the wine and the song.
is a happy time, a time to think back over all the good work you've done. But it's also a time to consider your future. There's a bright future waiting for you as a member of the United States Air Force. The Air Force will give you valuable experience that just isn't available anywhere else, plus many other opportunities. So put your education to work. See your Air Force recruiter and look over the wide range of programs that are available to you right now. In the Air Force.
I'm Sarah, and this is my story.
I'm Ellen, and this is my story.
One night, I was at a bar.
One night, I was at a bar.
I was having fun with my friends.
I was having fun with my friends.
I had one too many drinks.
I had one too many drinks.
I got behind the wheel to go home.
I got a cab to go home.
All of a sudden, from out of nowhere, a squirrel ran across the road.
And all of a sudden, from out of nowhere, a squirrel ran across the road.
It happened so quickly, I barely had time to react.
It happened so quickly, the cabbie barely had time to react.
I swerved.
The cab swerved.
I can't believe it. I hit a guy.
I cannot believe it. The cabbie just missed a guy.
I wish I took a cab.
Thank goodness I took a cab.
You have the choice to save a life. Don't drive buzzed. It's a decision you'll never regret. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
Everything is awesome.
WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM. We're wrapping things up here at the Big Picture. But before we go, we're going to tell you what's hot, which is our favorite thing from the past or coming week. For me, I am very excited about this. I'm totally going. The Revere Hotel near Boston Common is having Sangria and Rosé Wine Fest, called Mingle While You Sip, which I think is the cutest title to anything ever. But it is from 1:30 to 6:30 this Saturday on June 15th. And you can get your tickets at eventbrite.com. And it's literally under Sangria and Rosé Wine Fest.
Nice.
But it's right near, it's on 200 Stewart Street. So it's a block from the Boston Common. It'll be a lovely day. I'm sure the weather is going to be awesome too. So I highly recommend going.
That bright thing low in the night sky that wasn't there a few days ago, that's Jupiter, kids. And it is currently the brightest object in the sky that is not the sun or the moon. We're closer to Jupiter than usual. So you can see it with the naked eye.
That's such a funny sentence. We're closer to Jupiter than usual.
You can also see it very well with binoculars. But if you are out looking for it, there is a super, super rare astronomical event taking place right now. It's called Nocticulent Clouds.
Nocticulent
Clouds. Nocticulent clouds form at the highest possible level of our atmosphere. And when the sun is about 4 degrees below our horizon, they sort of shimmer an electric blue color.
Oh, cool.
And you can see them way, way up above on a clear night. Now, this is an exceptionally good year for them, because there is very, very low sunspot activity, which means the conditions are perfect to form these clouds, so we have an opportunity to go look for them. You want to look for them about 20 minutes before sunrise and about 20 minutes after sunset, so right around this time of day for the next week or so should be a great opportunity for you to get out there and see this rare sight.
Yeah, I mean, I love things like that, where it's just like, hey, nature's giving you a free show.
We don't usually get them this far south, but it is a particularly ripe year for their creation with the low sunspots. They haven't been seen everywhere around here, but it's something to look for, and it may be your one chance to see them without going way, way, way up north. No clouds can form any higher than these in the atmosphere. So when you're looking at these, what you're looking at really is the border between where our atmosphere and our world ends, and where space begins.
That's a really beautiful concept.
It is.
I'm so poetic. WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM. We're about to leave you here at the Big Picture, but before we do, we want to tell you that's a thing that happened, which is the craziest story we could find from last week. For me, I'm kind of going outside our usual zone, California.
Wow.
Yeah, a California college student used a Snapchat filter to pose as an underage girl online in an effort to catch sexual predators. The alleged predator he caught was a San Mateo police officer.
Oops.
Yeah. Ethan, 20, a San Francisco Bay Area college student, used Snapchat's gender switch filter to become Esther and pose on Tinder as a 19-year-old because Tinder does not allow juveniles to open accounts. Esther was contacted by a male Tinder user saying, "Are you down to have some fun tonight?" San Mateo Police Officer Robert Davies, 40, began talking to the person he thought was Esther on Tinder on May 11th before the two switched to the Kick messaging app where Ethan said Esther was 16, which Davies acknowledged according to a release from the San Jose Police Department. Ethan reported Davies, whom he had determined was a police officer. San Mateo Police then served search warrants on Davies' electronic devices, mobile applications, and at his home. He was arrested June 6th on suspicion of contacting a minor to commit a felony and booked at Santa Clara County Jail. Ethan told police he had a female friend who had been molested as a child, which led him to want to try to catch predators, saying, quote, "I was just looking to get someone. He just happened to be a cop."
If you are squeamish, turn off your radio right now. Okay, I'm warning. This is a fair warning. If you are squeamish, turn off the radio. Turn off the show right now. Come back in 3 minutes for On the Town, Mikey D.
Why are you telling people to stop listening to our show?
Don't listen to this. Don't listen to this. Connecticut.
Yeah, that makes me squeamish already.
You might want to skip the Thai food after this one. The owners of Siam Corner Thai Kitchen and Po in Windsor called police because something was dripping from the ceiling of their restaurant near the front counter. Police asked around about the occupant of the apartment upstairs, who neighbors said they hadn't seen in several days. There was a reason they hadn't seen him, which police discovered when they opened his unlocked door and found his body in his bed. Death by natural causes is suspected. Siam Corner will be closed for renovations for the next several days.
What was dripping? Oh, God, I don't even... There's so many possibilities, and they're all terrible.
If you can't figure out what was dripping...
I can figure out, like, five different things that might have been dripping, and as I said, they're all terrible.
Bless you, my sweet summer child. I am not filling in any more details than that on this one.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't laugh at a person passing away. There are so many pictures flying around my brain.
Well, they just passed away. They passed on and through the ceiling into the Thai restaurant downstairs.
Stop it.
I told it. Well, see, now you've taken me there. I said I wasn't going to go there, and now you've taken me there. So, great.
You're the one that told the story.
Well, because it's the strangest thing that's happened in a long time.
Fair play.
Yeah. Oh, Bruins, oh my God.
I say, what's the score?
The
other things have been happening while we've been
the Blues on the radio. Somehow scored a second goal in the last 12 seconds of the first period.
Jesus
so,
Cristo.
Time to turn on the game. Time to turn up your Bruins fandom and cheer, and let's go get these guys a win. Hey, 2-0. We got two periods to go. Everything's good. Everything's fine.
I will never not laugh when the increments are described as periods. It's pretty funny.
They've only gotten four shots on net in the first period. Somehow two of them have gone in.
Period.
It's that lousy O'Reilly and that lousy Bowmeister again. So
I have no idea who either of those people are.
So next week,
only baseball matters.
Next week we will have no Shea Spillane.
She's going to be in North Dakota, but I will send you a picture of me in North Dakota, which will be useless because we're a radio show. So
that'll be nice.
No one can see it. But I'll send you one, D, and you can describe it.
I'll be here. We'll be on the verge of summer. And if the news week continues to be as generally quiet as it has been, yeah, maybe we'll, you know,
things might get musical.
Maybe we'll get musical. Maybe we'll celebrate the start of summer with some music. I haven't done one of those in a long time.
Yeah. That's true. Well, because I missed one last month. I forget why. Because I was in New York. And now I'm going to miss one this month. But after that,
It's either
Shay
that
Shay all summer.
It's either that, or I sit here and talk about all the different ways that big tech is going to get destroyed by the federal government in the upcoming investigations.
Do you know what I've always wanted you to do is try to do my side of the conversation when I'm not here. Just like be an Irish Amazon from
I can't
Quincy.
Think like someone from Quinky. Till next time, Shay Spillane.
I love you all.
I'm Derek.